Today on Real Radio.
The Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. What a fantastic promise.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. In fact, we're in a mini-series that focuses on the all-important warning that the Apostle John issues in the opening verses of chapter 4. He writes, well, quite frankly, in no uncertain terms, be not deceived. In other words, believers are urged here and in other passages to think critically. We have got to be on the lookout because, as the Apostle John himself puts it, many false prophets have gone out into the world. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his series, taken from this section of 1 John chapter 4. It's called Living in the Days of Deception.
They call up and they said, well, you know, we've given your job to somebody else. And I thought, well, thank you. And they said, we have another position for you. And I said, okay. That was kind of bold for them to do, you know? So I go, I show up. Oh, the guy says, I wear a tie. Well, the other job, I didn't have to wear a tie. So, okay. I didn't know how to tie a tie. Honestly, I didn't even know. I drove over to my dad's house. He tied the tie for me, and then I put it over my head the next day. And I didn't know how to tie a tie. I showed up there, and it's like 2,000 employees there. So, you know, I'm parking out and way out there. So I walk up there, and I didn't know what to do, but I know, I'm knowing here that, you know, Lord, what in the world is going on? And so I show up to this place, I'm supposed to show up, and they say, well, you need an interview with this guy. And so I was, okay. So I go in there, and the guy asked me all these questions. And I didn't know the answers. But I didn't feel bad. I didn't ask for the job. Right? I didn't ask for it. Some knucklehead in personnel thought, let's put this guy at the job. So I'm sitting there, and it's becoming very obvious to me that I must only be here for the opportunity to witness to this guy. So I'm saying to myself, he's talking. I'm like, Lord, I'm thinking, Lord, give me the time, give me the opportunity. I'm ready. Because I know the job's not mine with the questions he's asking. You know, what's your definition of fusion? You know, can you recite the chemical table, you know, by memory? It's like, so it's obvious I'm not going to get the job. So I'm sitting there, Lord, just, and 3 hours, this interview is going on. And I kid you not, I said, sir, I don't need to take any more of your time. I'd like to say something. I'm a Christian. And this is what my life is all about. And I told him. I go to church 5 days a week. My wife works at Calvary Chapel. It's down the street from here. Here's the deal. You know what? I had the job over there by the airport. Somebody gave it away. Big mistake. Okay, I need to go back over there. Here's the deal. And the guy goes, you know, I believed in God once. But you know what? I sinned so bad, and I got away from God. And he just goes, this guy's pouring his guts out. I don't even know the guy. One thing leads to another. The guy says this, and there's people in line for this job. He says, I tell you what, you got the job. I'll train you. I'll mold you. You're my guy under my wing from here on out. I couldn't believe it. And that guy did that. 9 years he did that until he moved on. I was there nearly 13 years until God called me. We quit that job to come because this place had gotten too big. But you know what? I got to tell you something. I worked with PhDs. I worked with some of the most famous physicians in the world who created heart valves and artificial hearts and special diagnostic heart catheters, all these things. I got to work with these guys. And you know what? I got to tell you something. When the Holy Spirit is inside you, and some brainiac, PhD, says, well, you know what? I think that we're whatever. You know what? You don't have to cower. You don't have to panic about their PhDs or their positions. You simply can say or ask them, why do you believe that? And the fun begins. Because they think they're going to explain to you a reasonable answer for why they believe what they believe. And they can't do it. They can't. But aren't they a doctor? Yeah. But that makes it all the more fun. Honestly, they can't do it. But if the Holy Spirit's in you, you can stand there and say, well, I think if you look around at really the evidence that we have available, it's pretty obvious God's the creator, don't you think? It's rather clear. And they can't handle it. They can't handle it. I have never seen anyone overcome a spirit-filled Christian. Look at Stephen. Stephen's spirit-filled. The guy was waiting on tables. In the book of Acts, he's spirit-filled. He gets challenged. The Spirit of God's working through him. The guy preaches an incredible message. Read Acts chapter 7. It's incredible. How can that happen? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never lose to the spirit of this world. Never. It's not a pride issue. It's truth issue. The lie can never overcome the truth. Never. Christians, listen, we need to stand up and not tiptoe around. I'm not saying be obnoxious, no way. But I'm saying when somebody says, well, I believe that we're a collection of circumstances and accidents, and that's how we got here today. Stand up and say, I'd like you to explain that for me, please. I'm very interested in how you can explain that. No one questions this. And all you have to say is truth. See, we think we've got to get them to say yes to what we're arguing. No, you don't. All you have to do is say, I believe God created the heavens and the earth. Do you realize that if you walked away, that guy's going to go, you idiot, you fool, get back here, you empty-headed Christian, you blind leap of faither, you archaic. And you don't even have to worry, because you know what? The truth eats on them after that. They go home. They're like, can you, honey, I talked to this guy today. He said, God created the heavens and the earth. It drives them nuts. The guy lays down on the pillow at night, and he's thinking about it. The Holy Spirit's jamming it. It's true. Try it. If you think I'm kidding, try it and see. Truth will prevail. It really will. We have victory over the spirit. He says here, and have overcome them. We have overcome them. And that is, we've been given the victory. It's already done. The word overcome here in the Greek, listen, the root word for this word in the Greek is Nike. It means champion. It means to subdue all others, to conquer, to prevail, to be the victor over all the others. Nike, N-I-K-E. It's Greek for champion, not shoe. Champion. He says, and have Nike over them. Isn't that great? Why? Truth does that. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John 5, 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That is the spirit of the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Why? Because our faith, as we've been learning, is not having faith in faith, is it? It's our faith is founded upon fact. And our fact is what God has revealed to us. That is fact. It's not a blind leap. 1 John 5:18. Whoever is born of God does not sin, doesn't practice sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself. And the wicked one, that is Satan, does not, some translations say cannot, touch him. So whoever's been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one cannot touch him. Isn't that great? That's awesome, especially if you're going out on the mission field. That's the verse you want to know. If you're going back to work tomorrow morning, that's the verse you want to know. Or going home to that wife or to that husband, this is the verse you want to know. The work of the spirit of the Antichrist cannot separate us from our God. We have been given the victory. By the way, just to upset a few of you tonight, I don't see anything in the Bible that says he takes the victory back from us. In fact, I'm going to let an authority in a moment tell you more about that. But I don't see any unity here. I see a great division between the world and the church, a great division. The second thing that we see is this. We have that victory over them. And I'm going to ask you to circle the word them in your Bible. The word them is the word autos. It's A-U-T-O-S. And it means those of a baffling or strange wind. Isn't that graphic? The them are those of a baffling or strange wind. It means to have a backward origin. It means, listen to this, the third person among two, an oddity. Two people are talking and the third person walks up and they don't even look at them. This word autos applies to that odd guy out. Their doctrine's very strange. Their belief is weird. They're somehow of a backward origin. They're cockeyed to everything that's true. Whoever them are, they are very strange to the truth. They're like a baffling, strange wind. They don't make any sense. That's interesting. What a graphic word that is. In 1 John 4, verse 3, just preceding verse, it says, "And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." There's a great rift in your unity right there. "And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and even now is already in the world." Then look at just ahead, 1 John 4:6. 1 John 4:3 to 1 John 4:6. "We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. And by this we know the spirit of the truth and the spirit of error." There is a great rift in the attempt to establish unity. The victory is over the false prophet, the false teacher, in a very personal way. I'm going to give you the scripture reference. You can look at it later. Paul dealt with people in a personal way regarding false brethren. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 24 to 26. Paul lists all the things that he had to put up with in ministry, and he ended it by saying that he had these perils even among false brethren. I think he saved them for last because they inflict the greater pain. He was shipwrecked in the ocean 3 times. He was lost at sea. He was in perils of the robbers and of the country and of the city and all these things. But the worst thing seems to be that Paul is saying false brethren. The victory was absolutely confirmed to us, and we can walk in that victory as Christians. Listen, Spyros Zodiades is a great Greek scholar. He states this, and I want to read it to you exact. Spyros Zodiades said concerning this verse in Scripture, 1 John 4:4, he states that for this fact alone, the false teaching that says a Christian can be defeated by the world or possessed by an evil spirit or removed from the family of God is just not found in Scripture. Look at the power of 1 John 4:4. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. That he that is in the world is the spiritual entities. They can't have power over us anymore. That's broken, you guys. You plagued by the past? Listen, stand in your Christian truth and victory. Stand and worship or rebuke or whatever it must be, but resist the devil steadfast, and he must flee from you. You having bad dreams? Resist him. Put on praise music. Pray out loud unto the Lord. Pray for the enemy's demise. That's a great way. Can he hear our prayers? So what if he can? Let him have it. Lord, I pray that you would just break the enemy's horns and hoofs right off his feet and head. In Jesus' name. Man, when you tuck your kids in bed at night, pray for them to be covered by the presence of God. Personally, I pray that God would not only watch over my family, but I pray for the church, for all those who attend Calvary. I pray that God would put a shield, a dome, even around our property and the things that we even own. Because you know what? He owns them. They're not ours. So, Lord, they're yours. You watch over all of your assets. And if something does happen, I feel better about it because it's his anyway. It's his. In Romans chapter 6, verse 14, Romans 6, 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." And then finally, allow me to finish. This is our final point. It's take just a moment here. The world has been vanquished. The world has been completely vanquished by God. Whatever authority the world tries to put into your life, do you understand it's usurping authority? Do you understand that they're cheating? The world is cheating when it comes against you. It's usurping authority in a place and a position that it has no right. You are of God, little children. You belong to him. Listen, the world has been vanquished. It says in verse 4 at the closing, "Because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world." One of the most comforting passages of all the Bible. The most important thing I want you to see here are these points. Because the Holy Spirit resides in you. The Holy Spirit now lives inside you. John 16:7. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus had to go away so that you and I could be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Which, by the way, he did on the day of Pentecost, didn't he? He sent the Holy Spirit. Some people wonder, did Jesus ever make it to heaven? He ascended into a cloud. No one ever saw him get there. You know what? We have proof positive he got there. Because on the day of Pentecost, his prayer was answered. The Holy Spirit came. He says, "I'll go to the Father, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit when I get there." Jesus got to heaven, and the Father sent the Holy Spirit. It's called the promise of the Father. I love that. The Scripture says in John 14:16, Jesus says, "I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." That's a long time. "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you." What a fantastic promise. Romans 5:5. "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The Holy Spirit lives inside you if you're a Christian. He'll never leave. He'll never go away. You can never be possessed by his Spirit. You can never be overcome by the world. I think what happens so often, we listen to lies and we get defeated. When God stands there in all of his wonderful redeeming power and indwelling strength. William Barclay in his commentary said, "Because a Christian is a child of God, he or she gravitates toward the truth because he or she is literally possessed by the Holy Spirit. Conversely, a child of Satan is one who does not gravitate toward the truth, but toward error because he or she is possessed by the spirit of error." That is pure truth. Where's the unity there? It's not there. It's not there at all. When the truth is neglected. Secondly, the world has been vanquished because the world has no power any longer. It has no power. He says, "Greater is the Spirit, is the power within us than he that is in the world." Psalm 5, verse 11 says, "But let all those who rejoice put their trust in God. Let them ever shout for joy because you, Lord, defend them. Let those also who love you, love your name, be joyful in you." Psalm 145:3, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." I love that. It's awesome to consider. The third thing that we see, and finally, we'll close here, And that is, the world has been vanquished because Satan has been judged. Do you realize that? He is judged. His days are numbered. Flip Wilson used to try to tell us the devil made him do it. Well, the truth is, the flesh tempts us. But the fact is, Satan and the world has been judged. Satan's world, by the way, that he claims to own and tries to govern anyway, it's quickly fallen apart. Scripture says, he who is in the world is less, because greater is he that is in us. The world here is that famous Greek word cosmos. The word greater is the word greater in size, power, and strength, mightier beyond measure. That's your God. I'm going to give you a couple things. We'll be all done here. You might want to write these down. They're the five judgments of a false teacher or false prophet. Number one, content. Their message will be containing truth, but will have doctrinal errors. So when you're judging a radio, television, teaching, pastor, I don't care, evangelist, whatever, pay close attention to the content. Number two, congeniality. These are all going to be C's. Congeniality. The false prophet and the antichrist of the world are most often charismatic and convincing. They are well-liked, usually politically correct, rather than being theologically correct. Everybody loves them. Be careful. Jesus warned, when the world loves us, it's a dangerous thing. Commercialism. They have no problem seeking out funds and finances from anyone who will give. They see no problem in merchandising the message of the gospel for their own financial benefit. They love money and think about it often. Commercialism. Detecting a false prophet and a false teacher, number four, their character. Their lifestyle and spending are usually well secluded because of the way they live. They preach one thing, but live another. And often, that life is a hidden life. Finally, number five, their converts. Their converts are just like them. Rather than being like Jesus Christ, they gather men to themselves and go about establishing followers who are dependent upon them rather than dependent upon God. What unity is this?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson taken from the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4, where the Apostle John writes in no uncertain terms, "Be not deceived." That's a pretty heavy warning. It's actually a multi-part series called Living in the Days of Deception. Living in the Days, D-A-Z-E, of Deception. It's a mini-series that's part of Pastor Jack's overall verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, by the way, this entire series has been available through Real Radio for quite some time now, and people are getting in touch with us and asking for it. Living in the Days of Deception. Well, we've decided to make it available for you for your gift of any amount to this ongoing broadcast outreach known as Real Radio. Now, here once again is our offer. We'll send you Pastor Jack's series, Living in the Days of Deception, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Just ask for it by name, Living in the Days of Deception. You can visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and submit your gift right there online, realradioactive.org. Or give us a call if you'd like. The phone number is 877-RR-RADIO, toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us and send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for it by name, Living in the Days of Deception, Pastor Jack's series, all on one MP3 CD. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.